great to see each of you here today. It'd be nice if we could fellowship some more, but we've got a lot to do. We're using our 101 books this morning. Let's turn to the very first song, song number one, Just Over in the Glory Land.
Couldn't even go in the emergency room with her, so she had to go through all that herself, and it's scary. It's scary for her. This hospital, it's only the third time she's been at this hospital, so she doesn't know it as well as she knew the other ones that she used to go to. So keep her in prayer. My mom is still down in Florida with her parents. All three of them have COVID.
Oh, no. So
they're hunkered down together. My grandfather had it the worst, but it still wasn't necessary to go to the hospital. So they're all recovering. My grandmother, she seems to be fine. But all their tests were positive for COVID. And then on my dad's side, my grandmother, she's positive for COVID. So keep them in prayer. And they figured if she's positive, my grandpa probably is too. She's basically, everybody involved has just kind of cold symptoms. And my grandpa, he lost taste and smell. Bill Stout, he lost taste and smell. And he's been real tired, just fatigued real bad. So other than that, it looks like everybody should be able to pull through this. But just keep them in prayer. And I think that was all. Oh, one more thing. That's the prayer request. We're planning to go to Golden Corral, even though you preached against it this morning, for lunch this afternoon. So if you would like to go along with us, at the end of the service, I'll ask for a show of hands who all would like to go, because the church will pay for it. If you can't take care of it, we still want you to be able to go along with us. And then if you'd like to take care of your portion of the meal, just put it in the offering box next week. That's how we'll handle that. Mm-hmm. All right? So at the end of the service, think about it. If you want to go along, raise your hand and we'll get a count for that. And just watch what you take, because Pastor Welton will be checking your plate.
I was there recently, and the plates they give you now are very small. So you can put about three or four items on it anyway.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. And even after we trusted you as Savior, we still fail you almost on a daily basis. And Lord, we could never outlove your love for us. Yeah. And we thank you for this gathering. Thank you for those who came out and who still find it important enough to get together and sing about you and hear the word preached and fellowship one with another. And we thank you for watching over us, protecting us all these years. Now we lift up those before you that are not well. My grandparents on both sides that are struggling with COVID, and my mother, and pray for my wife. And just draw her closer to you and help her not to be afraid, and realize that you are the great physician. You should remember that, and you'll take her up in your arms, and help the rest of us as we deal with the things that we have to do each day with. Care for Lydia and Caleb. Just pray you watch over that situation. Pray for Brother Pirelli. You help him out as he's going through a difficult time here. Just uplift him. Draw him closer to yourself and encourage him in the Lord. We pray for others who are going through a difficult time, and you just draw him closer to yourself. And Lord, help us to care about one another. Help us to like the song says, get used to the family of God. We're going to spend a long time together. Lord, help us to care about one another in a way that we've never cared before.
Amen.
I pray that you just bless this church and move forward with a new pastor. Bless them and give them safety as they travel back and forth. And we pray you provide a place for them to live and work and decisions, wisdom for decisions that need to be made. Thank you for what you've done here. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. This next song, number 8. Compares our stand before the Lord with our current state. Let me think about that.
Lord,
announcements here this morning. The main one, of course, is there will be an evening service at 6:30 p.m. tonight. Hope you'll come and be with us. Just so everybody is aware, whenever the Weltons are here, we will have the evening service. Obviously, when they aren't here, we are still going to go with just the Sunday school and the morning service, so everybody's aware of that. So whenever we the Weltons are able to be with us, we will have an evening service. Jason already made this announcement, but just to reiterate, at the end of the service, we will be checking to see how many would like to go with us over to the Golden Corral for lunch. So we will check with you at the end of the service on that. If you didn't come prepared financially, don't worry about it. We still want you to come anyway. If you did come prepared, that's what our offering box is for. The church will be taking care of the bill for that. So, and as a reminder, most of you know this, but we don't believe in passing an offering box plate around here. We don't do that. That's what our boxes are for in the back. What you choose to do is between you and the Lord. And we have our regular offering box that goes for the needs of the church. And during this transition time, we still have the love offering box. Though that money will go to whomever our speaker is. And in this case, it's our pastor. Amen. So we'll go with that until such time as Pastor Welton was able to be here on a full-time basis. So, and by the way, that's the first request on our prayer bulletin. Prayer for Pastor Welton and his family to get up here and all the arrangements that have to be made. So instead of the search for a new pastor, the search is over. God has brought him.
Amen.
So that's a blessing and encouragement to us. All right, I think that's the announcements that I'm aware of at the time. Let's turn to number 17 in our 101 book. Number 17. then in the refrain or chorus, it goes down a little low. That's very interesting. Good song. All right, for our last song before the special and the message, number 27, I think this is, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, this is our desire. Number 27 in our books. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so? God has been faithful to us to sustain our church, and he has brought a pastor to lead our flock, Pastor Welton. So I hope you'll take the time. Some of us know your family, but some of us don't. And so you'll take the time to introduce them, and we're looking forward to see what God has for us.
Beauty in the sunk in ruin, sin, and misery. Bound by Satan's captive chain, guided by his artful treachery, hurried on to endless pain. My Redeemer, pluck me as a brand from hell. My Redeemer, pluck me as a brand from hell. When in heaven I see thy glory, when before thy throne I bow, perfect I shall be like him. Fully thy redemption, shout his praise.
Thank you, brother, for that special. That was a blessing. What a redeemer we have to serve this morning. A redeemer that loved us and was willing to die for our sins and make a way for us to go to heaven. Amen. It's a blessing to be with you all again this morning. Thank you again for everything you've done for my family and I. As way of introduction, I believe most of y'all know my wife, Melanie. And then I also have my daughter and son here with me this morning, my daughter, Ellie. And my oldest son was able to make it up here this week with us, and his name is Benjamin. So I'm thankful that they could be up here with us this afternoon and this morning. It's a blessing to have them here. Thank you again for just your goodness towards us, everything you've done for us. The last couple months coming back and forth through here, we really appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. And we're truly thankful to be able to be up here with y'all and see what God has for us in the future. I'm excited about it. God's good. I don't know what else to say. God is good. And so let's continue to just be faithful and just fight the good fight until God calls us home, either by way of the rapture or the grave. Just stay faithful to him till the end. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and please stand. We'll be looking in John chapter number 4 this morning. John chapter number 4. John chapter 4 and verse number 1. We'll be looking at this morning the woman at the well. John chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says in John 4 verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, and honor, and the opportunity that you afforded all of us this morning. Lord, first and foremost, to get up out of bed. And Lord, then to be able to come into this house, Lord, this church, dear God, and worship, praise, and give you glory and honor. Thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I just ask now this morning that you'd move me out of the way, Lord. I pray you just give wisdom, guidance, and direction, Lord, that you'd help us all, Lord, to be able to glean something from these scriptures, Lord, that would help us to draw closer to you and to love you more in these last days that we're living in. Thank you for being our Redeemer. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. And Lord, thank you for making a way out for us. Lord, I pray you just bless now this next time. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. John chapter number 4. And the first thing I want to point out to you about John chapter 4 and verse number 1 is if you see that very first part there, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." If you go and you look at any other Bible version, for the most part, they're going to leave out one word in there, and that's Lord. NIV, NASV, NIRV, they all leave out Lord. Now listen, I wasn't planning on talking about this much this morning, but if the reason for new Bible versions is for it to be easier to read and understand, why do you take out Lord? Okay? Why do you take out Lord? Hold your hand there in John real quick and flip over to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 1. Well, chapter 2. Look at Matthew chapter number 2. I'm going to show you something else too real quick. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse number 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." All right. So if you look at verse number 1, it says Herod the king. Now in your Bible, it should be a lowercase k. Right? Now look at verse number 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Referring to Jesus Christ. That should be a capital K. Correct? And in verse number 3, "When Herod the king," should be a lowercase k. The new Bibles, all of them that I've looked at, lower or uppercase King Herod and lowercase King Jesus. Yes. So if you get yourself an NIV Bible, look at it. They're going to uppercase King Herod and they're going to lowercase King of the Jews. And everything I've studied on that, the translators could have chose either way to go with it. So why, for these new Bibles and these new translators, or these translators for these new Bibles, why are they uppercase Herod and lowercase Jesus? You say, "Well, Brother Chris, that's just a small thing." No, that is not a small thing to me. My king is the capital K. Herod is lower K king. Do you understand this morning? So back to John chapter 4. Why are you taking out Lord from the Bible? Because of authority. You know, one thing that's missing today in our society is authority. See, we don't like authority because with authority comes rules and regulations, and our body, our flesh, automatically reviles against authority because we don't like someone else telling us what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what you got to say. I'm going to do what I want to do, even though it may be to my detriment. I'm going to give you something this morning. When you take a little kid and you raise a little kid, you take little Lydia here. Now, if I saw her walking and she had a butter knife in her hand, and all of a sudden she's going over here to this light socket or this socket here in the wall, and she's getting ready to stick that screwdriver or whatever she might have in her hand in that socket, I'm going to correct her or get her quickly if Jason doesn't see it. Because I care for her. She's a little girl. I don't want to see her hurt herself. Now listen to me this morning. If she goes over there, it was my child, my daughter, when she was 2 or 3, and she's walking over here to this light socket, and she goes to touch it. No. That's what I'm going to do. No. Well, she don't understand. No, she understands. And the reason I put this with it is to associate pain with that. Now listen to me this morning. You say, "Brother Chris, why do I do that?" Because I want her to listen to me when I want her to listen to me. Because I'm her dad. You say, well, you're an ogre. No, it's because I love her. Now, follow along now. What does society tell us to do today? We don't deal with the child that may hurt itself with these sockets. No, we put plugs in there to where if they do go over there, they can't hurt themselves because there's a plug in there. Because we don't want to take the time to train them and deal with them. Because what are you going to... Look, when my child... I raised four kids. Okay? And I live near a street. And if you have a house, chances are there's a street next to your house. Most houses have streets next to them. Because else you won't get on the road. Now listen. If I'm playing ball with my sons and they're 2 or 3 years old and the ball rolls out into the street and they all of a sudden start going running for them, I might not have time to run over there and grab them. I need them to listen when I tell them, stop, no. But dad, why? I'm going to get the ball. I said, stop, no. But dad, God forbid. You say, well, brother, how do you get your children to a point to listen when you tell them no? It starts when they're little. So when my daughter getting ready to go stick that thing over there in the socket, and I don't have time to run over there to stop her. When I say no, she's, oh, dad means no. See, we're missing that because that's authority. See, when God tells us to stop and say no, society today says, no, God, I got it. And God says, no, no, I got it, God, no. And then there's no chance. Now listen, I deal with kids from 12 years old to 18 year old for the last 6 years in the juvenile detention centers. And you know what the common thread through all of them? They can't listen to authority. And I take this stuff serious because I've dealt with kids that can't listen to authority. And today's society says, just talk to them. Talking to them does no good unless there's something put when they were younger. The rod of reproof gave wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And that is where we're at today because we've neglected child training because we don't want to take the time with it. The devil's done a wonderful job in breaking up homes. The dad's not there. The mom's not there. Daycare, the school's raising them. And we got a problem. Because we got a generation coming up that can't sit still to listen. Yet we got psychologists and social workers and psychiatrists that say, we'll talk to them and reason with them. You can't talk to them and reason to them because they don't know how to sit still to listen to the reason. Because they've never been trained to. I take this stuff serious because how many young people I've seen die? You say, well, Brother Chris, what do you do? What do you do if I missed out on an opportunity? You pray and ask God to get in and deal with things that you neglected when they were younger. Now listen, I wasn't planning on going down this road this morning. I wasn't planning on going down this road, but it's a serious road because we're in a mess today. Nobody raises their children by spanking no more. You're going to cause them, when they get older, you're going to cause them to want to beat their wife or beat their husband because you beat them when they were little. Now, last time I checked, there's no vital organs right here.
Well, right. Preach it.
Listen, listen. Either this is true. Either this is God's word and it's true, or I'm chucking it in the trash can and I'm going to do what I want to do the rest of my life. God says the rod and reproof give wisdom. Not only mental wisdom, godly wisdom. And the Bible says in Corinthians that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. But you know what our churches today do? Families and churches today? We're not going to do what God says. We're going to do what the psychologist says. And we're going to raise kids this way. And we're going to sweep our problems underneath the rug so that the rest of society doesn't see it. Brethren, it infuriates me how where I work at now, sweep things under the rug and hundreds and hundreds. I think it was like 1,400 kids come through the juvenile detention center system in a month, I think. 1,400 are in this. I can't imagine the number, how many are in the system because they can't control themselves. There's no control. I'm not going to listen to mom. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And then you get caught up in sex trafficking because dad's not there. Mom's not there. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm on the phone all the time. I get caught up with this man on the phone who says he loves me. I'm going to go meet him. And then he kidnaps me, takes me, gets me addicted to drugs. And now I'm caught in this sex trafficking stuff. We think coronavirus is an epidemic. Sex trafficking, child trafficking is the number one crime in the world right now. It has surpassed drugs. You know why it surpassed drugs? Because if I sell drugs to you, I got to go back and get some more if I run out. But with a human body, it never runs out. Brethren, I was not planning on talking about this morning one bit. You look at my notes, it has nothing to do with it. But you need to take this stuff serious. I've seen young girls leave the juvenile detention center where I work with them. They got a drug problem with heroin or meth because their mom was popping prescription drugs because she couldn't handle it. And the daughter got addicted to it. The mom dies and passes off the scene because she got overdosed on prescription drugs. And then the daughter starts doing it and she's in and out of the facility where I'm working. And I got a heart towards her. And then I learned 3 weeks after she leaves, she dies from a drug overdose. Megan Inebitit, that was her name. Pretty young girl. But it never touched me. I'll be just fine. Without God, you won't be fine. Without God, you can't make it. Because there's an enemy of your soul that wants to drag you down to hell quicker than anything because he knows if I'm going down, I'm taking somebody with me. Young people, I pray you take me serious this morning. I had a young man come by my house back July 17, 2017, come by my house at 2:30 in the morning, said, "Mr. Chris, I ain't got nowhere to stay this morning because my grandma kicked me out. His mama had gotten shot and killed a few years earlier. His dad was in prison for drugs." He said, "Mr. Chris, I ain't got nowhere to go," and I had been working with him for a while, and I said, "Well, you can stay at my house tonight." 2:30 in the morning, comes by my house, take my daughter out of her bedroom, I bring him into her bedroom. Saturday, we go out, we play a little basketball. Sunday, we go to church, come home from church Sunday. He says, "Mr. Chris, I got to go take care of something down in the inner city." And I stayed there. You come to my house right down there in Charleston, I could take you right where I was in that yard. And I said, "Knowledge." I said, "You're at a crossroads." That was his name, Knowledge. I said, "You're at a crossroads, Knowledge." He said, "I know, Mr. Chris, I know. I knew he was involved in gangs. I knew he was involved in drugs. I knew he probably had a gun on him. But he was always respectful to me." And I said, "Knowledge, you're at a crossroads with God. You have to make a decision." He says, "I know, Mr. Chris, I know, but I got to go do this." So he leaves out of my house there that Sunday morning. Monday, don't hear nothing from Tuesday. He calls me up, says, "I can't come back to police," something like that. Find out Wednesday, he gets shot and he gets killed. Brethren, I take this stuff serious. This stuff with God is serious. The Bible is serious, and we reject it and we throw it away and we try to do it our own way. We're going to reap the consequences of it. See, we're putting a false assurance out to society today to think that I can mess things up, I can mess them up, I can mess them up, and at some point they're going to be made right. It may not be made right. There may not be a second chance. Death is no respecter of persons. This is the answer. God's word is the answer. He is Lord of lords, and he is King of kings. And someday, whether we want to believe it or not, we're going to have to account to him. But as is appointed on a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. God loves us. God cares for us. But God also won't play games. Look, my pastor says this. Authority starts when they're young. The authority of mom and dad. The authority of teachers. The authority of the police. The authority of government, the authority of the president of the nation. But down, if you start down here, there's no respect for authority, no respect for authority for police. Defund the police. We don't need a police. You're an idiot. You have no clue what you're saying. You know what they did down in Baltimore a few years ago when they had all that stuff? You know what some of the police said? We're taking our hands off of it. We're not going into certain neighborhoods. We're not going to certain areas. We're not doing it. And then you're in a crime? Where are the police at? Look, you're going to want the police when somebody's coming to your house with a gun. Because when I lived down in the Dominican Republic, there was no police and everything was corrupt. You need police. You need authority. Yeah, there's some corruption, but you still need that authority. So there's no authority police. Police are rotten. Hate the police. Throw rocks at the police. Down with the police. What are you saying? You're saying down with authority. I don't want no authority over me because I want to do what I want to do. Well, you can't do what you want to do. Because guess what? If there's no authority over you, protecting you, watching over you, then you got to watch your back 24/7. You got to constantly have a gun. You better have a gun in your hand, turn around like this all the time because somebody's going to want what you got. Well, no, they'll watch over me. Oh, you really? You think they're going to watch over you? No. It's every man for himself. What evolution says? Survival of the fittest. But we don't realize that we open up that Pandora's box against authority. So we have illegal immigrants. Well, it's all right. Come on in. It's okay if you didn't do it the right way. Now, look, I'm all about missions. Actually, as a pastor of this church, I'm going to put a great emphasis on missions. I love missions. But if you're going to come to this country or any country, you need to come the right way, the legal way. Why is America the only country in the world that says, just come on in? Try that in Germany. Try that in Cuba. You can't just go into Cuba. Try that down in South America somewhere with one of those South American countries. Just say, I want to come in. They're going to be like, get out of here. But America, we love everybody. Anybody can come in. Just come on in. What is that doing to damn their souls? Well, my mom and dad didn't do nothing to me when they said they were going to do something to me. The police can't do nothing to me when they said they're going to do something to me. The teacher can't deal with me like they used to be able to deal with me because I'm going to get away with it. The government lets me get away with it. And guess what? I can go in a country and they don't, it's all good. Eventually it all works out. So you see the mindset it starts to produce in their mind, it always works out. But when you die, it may not work out if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
You're not just going to get into heaven because you're a good person. But see, that's what we produce in our head. Everybody's good. Everybody's love. No. Everybody's wicked. Everybody's a sinner. And everybody's all about themselves without Jesus Christ in their life. There's a song that says, if God is good, then how can anybody else be good? If only God is good, then I indeed cannot be good. Think about that for a second. So we have this woman at the well. Now, I'm going to jump forward here because, and maybe we might later on, when I go verse through verse through the book of John, we'll look at it. Samaria was in a mess, if you read your Bible. Samaria was in a mess, but Jesus said he must go through Samaria. And the reason, I'll give you a quick history lesson on it. The reason Samaria was a mess is because they rejected God under King Ahab and all those kings of Israel when the kingdom got divided. And they were a mess. And there was a mixture of people there after they got taken captive by the king of Assyria. So this picture I want you to get in your mind this morning is this area of Samaria is just a gobbledygook of a mess of religion. You have idolatry, you have some truth, you have some false. It's just a mess. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Okay? So as he's going through Samaria, I'm going to skip over some things. We're going to look at this point right here. Look what he says in verse number 7. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, the Bible doesn't make it clear whether there was any previous conversation between the two. All we get from Scripture is Jesus is wearied with his journey. He must go through Samaria. As he comes through there, there's Jacob's well. The Bible says he leans up and sits upon Jacob's well. This woman comes to the well, and Jesus, the Bible, all we see is Jesus says, give ye me to drink. He doesn't say hi. He doesn't say, hey, my name's Jesus. What's your name? He says, give me to drink. And as I was studying these scriptures, what jumped into my mind is God saying to mankind, fulfill my law and commandments. Give me to drink. I give you my commandments, fulfill them. I give you my laws, fulfill them. I give you my statutes, fulfill them. And if we're honest, we're like this woman. How am I supposed to give you to drink? Now listen this morning. The law is deep and man can only think that he fulfills just a bucket full of its demands and commandments. Take your Bible and look at James chapter number 2 real quick. I'm looking at this well as a picture of the law of God in the Old Testament. James chapter number 2 and verse number 10. James chapter 2 and verse number 10. James chapter 2 and look at verse number 10. James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Flip on over to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Look at these verses here. Romans 3:19. Let's go back to verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp, which is a snake, is under their lips. Look at verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is this generation today. Brethren, that is this generation today. They're full of cursing. They curse father. They curse mother. Proverbs chapter number 31, I believe, is 30 or 31. Talking about cursing father and mother. Their feet are swift to shed blood. You say, Brother Chris, are you crazy? No, I'm serious. We got 9 and 10 year olds now pulling out guns and shooting people. 9 and 10 year olds were where we're at down here in Charleston. Pulling out a gun and shooting somebody because they don't get what they want. Their feet are swift to shed blood. They think nothing of life. Verse number 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. If they take some time and you get alone with them and you talk to them, they're miserable. Look, you come to church, it may be fun and all that, but when you go home at night and you're by yourself, you're miserable. Verse 17, in the way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They fear not God. I fear God. I'm saved, and sometimes I'm fearful of going to heaven. Do you hear me this morning? I'm saved. I would have to lie to you to say God ain't changed my life and I'm saved. And sometimes I fear going to heaven in a right way. Because I realize, look, we sing songs and sometimes we think we'll just go. Do you realize when we step over into glory, what you're getting ready to step over into? The presence of God. When you take that last breath, you're crossing over into the presence of God. If that don't strike a little fear in you, I don't know what will. And I know I got an advocate, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, is my lawyer. He's pleading my case, and I'm still fearful of that day that I might have to cross over, the day that will, into God's presence. The holy God that created everything, all of mankind, everything we see, to stand in his presence, what awe. There's a little fear there with that, a little respect of fear. To have to stand before God someday. But we think that, well, it's just going to be good. We'll be jumping around. I'm sure they'll be jumping around. I'm sure there'll be joy. But there'll also be a right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A right respect and fear for our ultimate authority, which is God Almighty. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Now look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're guilty. And if you're saved this morning, you should be one of the first ones to stand up and say, yes, I am guilty before a holy God. Guilty. God says, hear my law, give me to drink, fulfill it, keep it. And we have to, if we're honest, we say, God, we can't keep your law. God, it's impossible to keep your law. And God, I'm guilty and my mouth is shut. See, we can't have our mouth shut. That's another thing today. A fool's mouth is his destruction. We got a society today. I'm going to voice what I think. I'm going to say what I think, and you're going to listen to what I got to say. Who are you? Who are you? But we've created this atmosphere today in this society that everybody has a right to voice their opinion. You're going to hear what I got to say. Who are you? That's one of the dangers with social media. Everybody gets a chance to voice their opinions. No, it ought not to be that way. It ain't that way with God. We're not going to stand before God someday and say, God, this is what I think, God, and God, this is what I say, and God, I don't know what you're talking about, but this, you might do that to your mama, you might do that to your daddy, you might do that to your teacher, you might do that to the policeman, you might even do that to the judge, but you ain't doing that to God. You ain't looking at God saying, God, who you think you are, tell me what to do. Oh, no, my friend, you're going to have a rude awakening someday. You say, Brother Chris, there's a lot of negative this morning. No, I'm going to get to the positive. It's serious. We serve a serious God. We serve a holy God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God that is a God of laws. We serve a God that is a God of rules. We serve a God that is a God of statutes and judgments. But we've lost it today because of this generation that's coming up and how it's been raised. They have not been raised to obey authority. And they feel they have a right to voice every concern that they may have. It's not going to happen with God, because the Bible says here that every mouth may be stopped and become, and the whole world may become guilty before God. Jesus said to this woman, he says, give me to drink. This well has been functional and not emptied by man since the days of Jacob. This is a picture of a man or woman never being able to be justified by the laws of God. You can never, ever be justified by the laws of God. If you think merely by keeping the commandments of God that my good will outweigh my bad, thus allowing me entrance into heaven, you are deceived and you are wrong this morning. Your good will never outweigh your bad. You are guilty before God this morning by his very commandments. If you've broken one of the commandments, the Bible says, we read in James, you're guilty of all. Jesus said, give me to drink. Fulfill the law and live. You can never fulfill the law and live, and it will never satisfy your thirst and hunger for righteousness. In Luke, the Bible says, take your Bible and look over at Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. Luke 10 and verse number 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 25. There's a lawyer that comes to Jesus. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Master, how can I get to heaven? How can I have eternal life? Jesus says to him in verse 26, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Why did Jesus look at this lawyer and say, this do and thou shalt live, when Jesus Christ himself knows that if any man tries to keep the commandments, he can and he'll die? The Lord knows what he's doing. He says, this do and live, because it is true. If you can complete and fulfill the laws of God without ever breaking one single one of them, you will live. You will have eternal life, because you would be perfect. You would be sinless, thus allowing you entrance into heaven. Brethren, in order to get into heaven today, you have to be sinlessly perfect and enter in order to get into heaven. You cannot get into heaven if you have messed up one time. If you've ever told a lie, you're guilty. If you've ever stole something, you're guilty. If you ever disobeyed your parents, you're guilty. If you've ever put anything before God, you're guilty. And you thus cannot get into heaven. You're a sinner. But in order to get to heaven, you have to be sinless. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This man's got some problems now. Jesus just said to him, or he answered Jesus, love the Lord God with all your heart. I ain't done that. Brother, I ain't loved God with all my heart. I ain't love God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind. And I ain't even love my neighbor as I ought to, much less God. Yet this man, in his smirk little way, trying to justify himself before Jesus, says, who's my neighbor? And he goes on to talk about the Samaritan that fell along. You're a lawyer, and you got to ask the question to Jesus, who my neighbor is? You know exactly who your neighbor is. You're just not willing to humble down before a Savior, before a God, and realize, God, I can't keep your commandments. What do I do then need? Jesus, what do I do now need to get eternal life? Jesus, what's the answer now? Because I know I can't keep the commandments. No, he didn't do that. He tried to justify himself. You know what's needed this morning? Brokenness before God. A brokenness before God to really see our true state before him outside of Jesus Christ, that we're nothing but dung and a pile of dirt, that God has chosen to breathe the breath of life into and make us a living soul. Outside of him, we're nothing. And that is what Jesus wants us to see this morning, that without him, we're absolutely nothing. We're hopeless without a precious Savior and Redeemer. We're nothing without him. Man can never meet the demands of a holy God. Thus, our need for a Savior who fulfilled the law and became the atoning sinless sacrifice for our sins. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He took our place. We deserve to go to the cross. We deserve to hang there. We deserve to pay the price for our sins, not only temporarily, but for all of eternity, to pay for our sins. But Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was willing to do it for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Jesus Christ brings us justification because of what he did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. I'm not going to read it, but the latter part of verse 14 says, through Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Those who come to Christ Jesus will never thirst again spiritually, for they are made a new creature in him and are now a son of God. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. We're almost done here. Are you satisfied this morning? Are you happy? Are you really happy this morning? Do you have peace? Look, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, do you have peace with God knowing that you've been made right with him? Can you lay your head in that pillow and just, the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. You might have trials, you might have things going on, but when you lay your head in that pillow, you can know that you can turn to a God who loves you and cares for you and knows what's best for you, and you can lay your head in that pillow and rest that God knows what needs to be done. You have a peace with him. Do you have peace this morning with God? Is your conscience clear? Or are you guilty because there's things you've done that nobody knows about but you and God? There's a way to be made right. Come to the Savior. Come to the Savior. Say, Brother Chris, well, how do I do that? Call out to him. Look, just as you would try to talk to me or somebody else in this church, talk to God. Tell God your problems. Lift it up and put it up to him and say, God, this is what it is. I need help. God, I want what Brother Chris is talking about. I want that peace. I want my conscience clear. I want that happiness. I want that joy. I want that walk with you. Just be willing to admit what you are before God. God can do nothing with you until you're willing to admit what you are. A drowning man can't be saved until he gives up. The Bible says in John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We have a society today that's looking for everything, looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. They're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They're looking for peace in all the wrong places. It may provide it temporarily. You may be happy. You might have peace temporarily. But it won't be for eternity. And eventually it's going to wear off. Every high in this life has got a low. You can drink alcohol and get drunk. But guess what? You got to wake up tomorrow morning and you ain't going to be there no more. You can take drugs and get high. You can smoke weed and get high. But again, eventually you're going to come down off the high and you're going to have to do it again. And the more you do, the more you try to get until you completely just destroy yourself because you're looking for something. You're looking for it in all the wrong places. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." A cistern is a vessel that can hold water. You know what we do today? And I wouldn't do it in here this morning. You look here real quick. You see this bottle of water? I'm not going to do it in here. But I'll take this bottle of water. You got one right there, honey. Yeah, you're right. You take and you pour it in your hands. A little might stay in there, but the majority of it's going to fall through your hands. You ain't going to be able to hold it in your hands. It's just going to go all over the place. It's going to fall to the floor because your hand can't hold the water. There might be a little bit there, but your hands can't hold the water. But that's what people do with life. Why am I so miserable? Why I feel so empty? Because you're taking water and you're just pouring it on your hands and you can't hold it. See, Jesus Christ is that living water to where you drink of it and you're satisfied. It ain't like pouring it into a sieve or a broken cistern. You can hold it because he's holding it. Psalm 36 verse 9 says this, "For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." Brethren, I want to go over this morning concerning this story with this woman at the well. I want you to think about this morning that true peace and happiness, true fulfillment comes from following Jesus Christ. Him making you a new creature, being born again of the Spirit. If that's never occurred in your life, I pray that you would do business with God. You say, "Brother, what do? I call out to Jesus Christ. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. And I'll answer them as best as I can and try to give you Bible on it. But ultimately, it comes down to you receiving what Jesus Christ did for you in dying on that cross and him shedding his blood to forgive you of your sins. He died on that cross, he was buried, and he was raised again 3 days. And he sits right now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And he's willing to forgive you of any sins to make you right before him, perfectly sinless before God. You know why I deserve to go to heaven? Because of Jesus Christ. He's now my advocate. And if all of a sudden I were to drop dead right here, right now, and I were to stand before God the Father in heaven, and God the Father look at me and say, "Chris, why should you get into heaven?" I'm going to point to his son and say, "Because of your son, Jesus Christ. Because back on March 19, 2000, I received your son. I accepted what he did for me. I took what he was willing to offer me. His sinless blood washed away my sins. And now he's my advocate. He's my lawyer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, your son, is now going to plead my case before you. It's upon him that I stand and only him that I stand, Jesus Christ." My pastor gives this picture here, and I'm going to give it to you this morning real quick before we close in prayer. There was a shepherd that had sheep that were being born, and he had a mother over here and she gave birth to a lamb, and he had another mother sheep over here and she gave birth to the lamb. Well, this sheep over here that gave birth to a baby lamb, this sheep mama over here, she died. So on this side we have a dead mama and we got a little baby lamb that ain't got no mama no more because she died. And on this side over here we have a mama lamb and she gives birth. And she lives, but during the birth, the little baby lamb over here, it dies. So on this side of the barn, we got a little baby lamb over here that ain't got no mama. And the shepherd wants to keep her alive, so he takes the little baby lamb over here that has a dead mama, and he brings her over here to the living mama. And when that living mama smells that little baby lamb there, she kicks at it and pushes it away and almost tries to kill it because she's like, when she sniffs it, she says, "That's not my own. That's not mine. I'm not responsible to take care for that." And so the shepherd's like, "Well, what do? I don't want to lose this baby lamb." So what the shepherd does, this is true. National Geographic did a thing on it. What a shepherd will do is he'll go over and he'll take that dead lamb and he'll skin it And that little dead lamb will shed its blood, and he'll have that skin, and he'll take that skin, and he'll come over here, and he'll put it over that live little lamb. And then he'll take that live little lamb over there, over to that mama, and that mama sniffs it, and she smells her own. Do you see the picture this morning? When Jesus Christ, forgive me, God, for better, when he sniffs me and smells me, he don't see Chris Walton no more. He sees the blood of his precious son. I'm that lamb, that little lamb that didn't have nothing, that I'm covered and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that when God the Father looks on me, he don't see Chris Walton no more. He sees his precious son, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Through Jesus Christ. In him alone, my righteousness stands, and that is the only righteousness I have, is Jesus Christ. If you've never been covered and washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray you do business with God this morning. It's not a light thing. We serve a holy God, and he demands holiness. He demands sinless perfection. And you cannot give him to drink. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, you're just so good. God, you're just so good to us, Lord. Lord, I can't even comprehend it. Why, Lord, God, why you would love me. Lord, I don't understand why you would love me. Lord, when I'm just honest with myself and I look in the mirror, I don't understand, Lord. And there's a lot of people this morning in this country, in Pennsylvania, across this whole nation, Lord, that they're just looking for somebody to love them. There's a lot of kids out there today, Lord, they're just looking for somebody to love them. And Lord, your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Lord, there is somebody that loves us this morning, and it's you. And I pray this morning, Lord God, if there's somebody here that's not saved, they've never been born again, they've never, Lord, given up and turned their life over to you, Lord, all their soul, mind, and strength, dear God, they just gave up, Lord. And Lord, never been born again, never been converted, never been brought into the family of God, Lord, I pray they see it this morning. Lord, I pray you make these things clear and plain to them, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit would bring conviction upon them, Lord, and that they would just cry out to you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength for salvation. Lord, help us now this morning, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, just help us to live in the light of it. Lord, help us to stay faithful, those of us that are saved, to just be that light and testimony to this lost and dying world. And Lord, we pray this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a song. If you take the 101 hymn book, the small hymn book that we sang about this morning, and turn to page number 14. Page number 14, leave it there. Take it to the altar of God and leave it there.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your body suffers pain, and your blood you will gain. Bring your soul.
foster husband this past week passed away. And I just ask you to keep her in prayers for what she's going through. And we're going to, Casey's going to say it. It's special for her this morning. And we'll pray in this. Brother Glenn, can you close out in prayer, brother?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, Lord, your mercy. Father God, we thank you for the right to boldly enter into your throne. And Lord, and to confess our sins and fellowship. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would take the message that we've learned today and it's just filled with so many nuggets of truth and your wisdom. Lord God, please, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our lives as we feebly, Lord, attempt to go forward for you. And our Father God, I pray you be with this dear family here, Lord, grieving the loss of a loved one. Father, I pray that you put your mighty hand upon them. Pray, Father God, that you'd comfort them and ease their grief. And Lord, I pray that you just would help them to walk. Lord, I know there's an old song that says, I can't even walk without holding your hand. And I pray, Lord, that these people would reach out to you and the only one who can take their pain and fill their hearts with joy and peace. So, Lord, I pray now that you take the rest of this day now and bless it. Bring us back safely tonight. And again, fill us, Lord, with your word and your wisdom. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you all. Appreciate you all. And hopefully, Lord, we'll see you this evening. All dismissed. Amen.